Welcome to the Lighter Side of the Dark Side. It's your weekly freak show here on Renegade Radio and all podcast catchers, Spotify, iHeartRadio, iTunes, wherever you listen to us or watching us. If you're watching us on YouTube, that's great too. I'm Dark Mark, the goth comedian, and as always, my co-host, everybody's favorite horror writer, Nicole Sachs.
Good evening.
Good evening, Nicole. As you've noticed, there's less of me to love these days.
I know, it's going away so fast.
Well, there's less of me to hate too, but and the person that's responsible for this is on the show tonight, and she changed my life, but she also is an amazing woman in her own right. We're going to get to all sorts of things, but she is the founder of the Food Freedom Program?
I don't even know what program I'm on.
The Food Freedom Program, which I am on, it's Paige Sandgren.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Food Freedom Nutritionist, Food Freedom Program, whatever you want to call it. So, yeah.
Because it didn't always used to be Food Freedom Program. It was the Amazon.
Amazon Evolution initially, yes. And then I started working with guys too, and then just kind of didn't really work with the whole adjective.
What's the most fundamental difference between working with men and women? Is there one?
No, it's the same. I guess it would be that I have to tell women why they can't justify eating chocolate on their week of their period. But other than that, it's I just started working with women because it was a smaller demographic. And I was just taking clients online initially, and then I expanded to both people because I could handle more people. So, yeah. No other reason.
Why can't women eat chocolate on their period? Isn't that I've seen that plenty of times.
Yeah, well, you can, but you don't need to. That's the thing. Your hormones dictate your hunger levels a little bit, but people blow it way out of proportion. They already anticipate needing chocolate, ice cream, popcorn when they don't even physically need it, they emotionally need it. So, yeah.
We're going to get into all that and Paige's fascinating life. But before we get started, I do have to say, and this is in my calorie thing because this is Raise Energy Drink. I don't know if you're familiar with Raise Energy Drink. You're in gyms, it's not in Planet Fitness where I work out, but other gyms have Raise Energy Drink and also, DNC's. Raise Energy Drink is the best energy drink. This is Baja Blast flavor, or Baja Lime. Tastes like Baja Blast from Taco Bell.
Is it like a delicious Bang kind of ordeal? Or
it's even better because zero carbs, zero calories, zero crash, zero dyes. It's great. It's the best. They've got great flavors like I said, Baja Lime, Sour Gummy Worms, which is better than you would think. They have the Volcano Fruit Punch that I know Nicole likes, all sorts of energy drinks. And you can get them at gyms, you can get them at GNC's, but why pay more? Use our code that is in the description, either if you're listening to us on Podcast Catcher or YouTube, get 15% off a case. I put it in my fitness tracker, my calorie tracker, and it went zero because there's zero calories. So I'm still in my 1,800 calorie thing, and I'm losing weight. So, Paige, you grew up in Michigan.
I did. Yep.
Small town in Michigan?
Muskegon, Michigan, by Grand Rapids. So, on the west.
Did you do the hand thing for Nicole and our viewers?
Well, I guess I'm going to be backwards for you guys, but that's Detroit, and then over here, it's right there. Halfway up.
Do you know the hand, Nicole?
No, I don't know the hand.
Tell her about the hand.
Michigan is shaped like a mitten. Although, at least the lower peninsula. So it's kind of like this with the upper.
So when you see people doing this and this and this, they're Michigan. They're like people straight from 8 Mile, and they're like, yeah, we're right. Or rural Michigan, because speaking of Michigan, I did want to thank Harley Wallen, the director of Ash and Bone. I went to the premiere last night. And it's a really good, Nicole, you got to see this. This is a really good movie, Ash and Bone. We saw so many friends and so many past guests. And everybody on Facebook is raving about my picture and how much weight I've lost. So it was so much fun. I want to thank Joe Williamson and Harley Wallen, who is a Michigan native and filmed the movie in Michigan. So it's a story about these people from Detroit go to a small town in the woods and meet a crazed murderous family. Now, I'm not saying that's like where Paige grew up, but it was rural, right? Farms and things?
Yeah, ish. I'm more on like the beach side, but if you go about 10 minutes inward, it's pretty much that.
I saw the beach in your vlog. You did a nice little showcase of the beach.
Yes.
Was that the beach in Michigan?
That might have been was it Instagram story? Might have been.
And no, I'm pretty sure you said it was Michigan. You said this is our beach.
Oh, yeah.
There was a lighthouse?
Yeah. Yeah, Pierre Marquette. Yeah, Muskegon, Michigan.
Oh, okay. So. I didn't know they had beaches in Michigan. I've been through Detroit and, you know, I thought it was all dilapidated buildings. I had no idea.
The like Detroit and like, you know, Lake Erie, that side is kind of like rocky. There's no beach. But on Lake Michigan, on the other side, we actually have beaches. And if you look at it, it looks like the ocean because it's so big. It's pretty cool. And no sharks. So, yeah.
And you are self-described as a science nerd.
Yes.
How nerdy do we get?
Well, it depends on what questions you want to ask. I majored in biology, so in English, but I explain the science, as you know, through my course of nutrition and everything, how it breaks down in your body and whatnot, because it just gives people the confidence and reassurance and security while they're doing something different other than all the popular diets. And like, it shows them why it's going to work and when it works.
You had like a chemistry set when you were a little girl, that type of thing?
I appreciate facts. I guess we'll say that.
You know, when you went to college, you gained weight, but you were an athlete, you were a soccer player. When you were in high school, we have something kind of in common because we were both editors of the paper.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So, and I was the editor of the yearbook. So I can out nerd anybody because I went to yearbook camp.
Wow.
Nobody can out nerd that. There's nobody.
I went to a newspaper conference, but
we're even. But nobody could beat that. Those are the two nerdiest things I've ever heard in my life. I mean, people went to Dungeons and Dragons, but who goes to a newspaper conference or a yearbook camp? We do. But you were like a four. The thing we didn't have in common in high school is that you were an athlete in three or four sports.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I was a three sport athlete, and then I was a 4 year on the varsity for soccer. So I was one of two freshmen to make it my first year, and then I actually went to college with the intention to play soccer. And I did like the training and everything and like part of the first year and realized that it's not for me. Wasn't a huge fan of the coach. It's kind of a hypocrite. And it was D3. I wasn't getting a scholarship for that. So I just backed off and then I started running and then,
I find this all ironic because you hate running now.
Yeah, I like sprinting, but yeah, I hate running.
You're not a big cardio person now. No. You do it, but.
Yes.
You'd rather lift something heavy than run.
Yeah. I mean, if you're taking short rest periods, you don't need to, people should be sweating when they're lifting weights anyway, but you know.
Well, I know I was. I actually lifted weights before this. It was chest day today. So I wanted to make sure I was swole for you. But but tell Nicole, and Nicole and I are going to tell you, are the bad diets that you tried, because you gained a little weight in college. I know you're always like, well, geez, I had a muffin top and I had I had love handles, but I doubt you were that heavy.
I wasn't, but I was, so I had no muscle. And then I, on top of that, I started gaining, and with my shape, like I was trying to fit myself into like the size zero clothes still. So with that, I had a muffin top, of course, but it was.
You had a muffin top with a size zero clothes?
Well, size zero, like size two pants. But like, I really should have been like a 10. but I had no muscle, so I had no class. But I did every diet. I mean, I don't even know where to start. I guess
start
the first
cayenne
one.
Pepper diet.
Oh yeah, that was lovely. So I don't. And the ironic thing is, as I was doing my bio degree, I was looking at what I thought was research, which was just Google research, and I learned quickly that you can't trust anything you read, and cherry pick data is far too common. But you know, people were saying X, Y, and Z was true, and your body uses this for energy and whatnot. And so I literally had 14 like water bottles, empty water bottles, and I filled them up with lemon juice, cayenne pepper, a little bit of maple syrup, water, and I don't know, maybe a little salt or something. And then I would drink like 3 or 4 a day. That's it. And I felt like dog shit. Sorry, I hope I can swear.
Oh, no, we encourage profanity.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I felt terrible. The first day I was like, yeah, this is going to work. I already dropped a couple pounds, but of course it was all water. And then, yeah, you realize that you can't. And then the binging started. Because on the weekends, I was still a partier. So I would drink alcohol, and then I would go on benders on the weekends. And then I realized that it just wasn't going to work. My friends even were looking at me like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, you're a bio major here. Why are you doing this?
And you're not eating anything. You're drinking water with cayenne pepper and maple syrup.
Right. Lemon juice, yeah. So
kind of a sweet and sour. It's kind of, you know.
It tasted okay. I hate spicy things, but and then I went to keto, so that was the next big mistake.
You had muffin top with a size 2 pants, which that's a small muffin, but you didn't look out of shape then, but you did not look like you do now.
Yeah, and I can't personally find any of the pictures of me in my worst shape. It was more than a size 2 pants. It was getting up there, and I hold the fat too in my face. I should send you the picture. I do have that one.
No, because you've referred to yourself as a chipmunk, and I didn't see it. But
yeah. Oh, they not for whatever reason. I have a very round face, and so it's probably gone down like half of a.
Well, mine too.
Yeah.
Nicole is always saying, "Yeah, your face is really skinny." A lot of people say that. I guess your ex-boyfriend got you to lift, and. Yes. And when you first started going to the gym, like you were with him and his friend, and they were guiding you. But sometimes you were alone, and it was kind of scary. You didn't know the form on everything.
Yeah, it was terrifying. I was the only girl, pretty much the only girl in the weight room, and you know the football team was in there. It was my senior year in college, and so it was just they were just all like staring at me, like I was petrified.
Hey, dude,
like,
it's Longboard. Check her out.
Yeah, they called me Longboard Girl because that's just, they saw me longboarding to class and I didn't talk to anyone. but yeah, no, I stuck with the machines I was comfortable with because I didn't know enough to want to hire a coach. I didn't know I was going to be like a bodybuilder at that point in time. It was just, I mean, everyone's a bodybuilder to a degree, but I did the lat pull down because that's pretty easy, self-explanatory. I did I call it the yes-no machine, the abductor machine. With your legs for the glutes.
I know people have other words for it.
But. Yeah, yeah. Don't make eye contact with that one. and then I did bicep curls and a really terrible form of a shrug, and that's it. And I did abs, and I did that for a whole year. But I was eating keto, so I was eating regular burger patties on just a regular plate with a pile of spinach next to it. And I felt like crap, and I was pretty much lifting off pre-workout, running off of that. But I wasn't really, I lost fat. I wasn't really gaining the muscle I wanted to. So still making progress, but.
Gaining a little bit of muscle, but not what you are now.
Right. Yeah, not at all.
and that was, keto, can you break it down and explain what's wrong with keto real fast?
Yeah. So, ketosis is a natural occurrence in your body when you're starving, essentially. And so, yes, you are going to burn body fat, and your body runs off of its own fatty acids, but it's not ideal. So it's like burning a kerosene lamp. It can go longer, and it's not quite as bright as opposed to sparking a match. But if you're eating carbs, you need to spark more. You need to keep eating carbs, but you get more energy out of it. So if you're trying keto and you're lifting weights, you're trying to gain muscle and you're doing any kind of high intensity exercise, especially like CrossFit, you're going to feel like shit and you're going to hit a wall. You're going to burn muscle because your body can't burn carbs. So it goes to the amino acids instead because of anaerobic respiration, and then you end up essentially making a smaller version of yourself because you've lost the muscle, you've lost some fat, but you're still smaller. So, yeah, basically, it's good if you have cancer. There are studies that suggest that that's beneficial to do it in that case, but otherwise, you do not need to do keto. And the studies have shown that you can lose just as much body fat if protein, calories, and fiber are equated for, which most people, they don't. They don't eat fruits, vegetables. They just eat bread all day long. And then, of course, keto is going to work because you cut out a third of your diet. Essentially, right. It's just high fat. Yeah.
So you're losing fat, but you're losing muscle, and you're ultimately not healthy. And Nicole, if you could think of one weird bad fad diet that you've done that didn't work out.
I haven't done it, but I've always been curious about what they call the military diet. Are you familiar with that, Paige?
I think so.
It's that, what is that crazy diet where you eat like hot dogs and ice cream.
What?
Oh, I'm not familiar with that.
So it's called the 3-day diet. They swear that you can lose 10 pounds in 3 days if you follow this diet.
By eating hot dogs and ice cream.
I've done it, but I've been very tempted to try it, but I've never done it. Some people swear by it. Like they say it works. Like for breakfast, you're supposed to eat like a grapefruit or something. And then there's like a little bit of tuna for lunch. And like, it's just a whole list of things you're supposed to eat for 3 days. And like half a cup of ice cream for dessert. Like it's just weird foods. And they say that these foods all work together to help you burn weight faster. I think it's probably full of crap, but a lot of people talk about it.
Where does the hot dog and ice cream come in? That's why I want.
The hot dog is one of the meals you eat.
Oh, okay.
The ice cream is the dessert.
Well, I will tell you that I did do a version of the grapefruit diet once, in that you had to eat a grapefruit like for breakfast. And the thought behind it is that it will burn fat the rest of the day. And to be honest, eating a grapefruit for breakfast is good. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if that's enough to base a diet on.
Yeah, no, it's not going to burn fat.
But you could throw a grapefruit in any time. It's delicious, and you know, mm-hmm. You should eat fruit. So
with the military diet, I don't doubt that, you know, I fully believe that it does work. You can lose 10 pounds, but the question is, what are the pounds? Are they water? Are they glycogen? Are they fat? And chances are, like, usually you can only burn 2.2 pounds of fat per week, usually, unless you're starting out, unless you're in a big deficit. But that's usually the most people would want to do. And so to lose 10 in 3 days tells me that it's just mostly water, and they're going to gain it back as soon as they stop eating that stuff. But there's no magical combination. So I'm curious, because I've never heard that.
I thought an ice cream is not a magical combination.
No, I mean, you know.
I always thought you were going to tell her about your cereal diet.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, that's another fad diet. I can't keep up with it because I get too hungry. That's why I can't do it. But if I was like able to be that disciplined, I would be able to do it. So like Kellogg's Special K promises you can lose 2 pant sizes in 2 weeks if you follow their diet. Now, their diet is you replace 2 of your meals a day with the Special K, and then you eat fruits and vegetables to fill the void. So that's just like a pretty good diet. Like you're cutting out, it's a deficit. You can probably do it, but you'll gain it back. Like if it's not a permanent solution. But
well, you'll be craving food, right, Paige?
Yeah, you're gonna be hungry as shit.
That's why I can't do it. What I do, and the one thing that's worked for me is I was at, I don't want to say my weight on this podcast.
You were heavier than you would like.
I was heavier than I'd like, and I've lost 15 pounds. And what I've been doing is just eating every couple of hours a small meal. Mm-hmm. That's what I do.
Yeah.
And then I also have the diet I'm currently on, which I'm sure you wouldn't approve of, but it's working. Is a diet where you fast 2 days a week. So,
gotcha.
You but that's that page?
So I'm not a fan of fasting, simply because for most people they get too hungry. But I always say the best diet is the one that works for you. So if you can stick to that, then go for it.
Well, it's easier to maintain 2 days a week than it is to try to like maintain full time. But the problem is I have my nutrition group got on me and they're like, you really have to count calories on your day off because otherwise you end up binge eating.
Yep. Yeah.
But we're gonna get to the right way in a moment. But I'm gonna tell you my diet fails because I did the Mayo Clinic diet. I did the I even tried the cereal diet. I didn't do that. Didn't work. The grapefruit diet. Here's how desperate I was 2 years ago. And I don't know if you remember this, Nicole, but I charged it up and brought it out just.
Oh yeah, I remember.
And remember how excited I was? I thought I had the solution. The shock bracelets, the Pavlok shock bracelet. This is how desperate I was to lose weight. Do you have one? Is that what? Are you digging yours out?
Yeah, I use it for my alarm clock, but yeah.
You have one too?
Yeah.
So maybe I should get back on it. I didn't know we had this.
It's not for food. It's for I really like sleep, and so I will sleep through alarms.
So this is a bracelet that shocks you, and yeah, I guess I could use it for an alarm, but I was mainly got it to lose weight, and here I'm gonna shock myself. See, this is what happens when you eat a bad meal. You're supposed to do this. No, it's not working. But
yeah, there's like different settings, different tensions.
I don't know. I haven't set it. So, there you go. Okay, so you shock yourself, and then you're supposed to get your habit. So, that's how desperate I was. And then in December, I was on Instagram, and I don't know how you got to my feed, but it might have been a paid ad. I don't know what it was, but I saw a page and I inquired about a program. What was nice about it was you didn't give me the hard sell.
I didn't give you the what?
Didn't give me a hard sell.
Oh, no. Well, I mean, I'm never going to make someone do something that they don't want to do. And I think that it's not going to work for them. So like, but I know that this does work. And if you,
clearly. I'm going to show you how well this works. It's a visual aid. I will get something for our other, for I will talk about this on audio. This is my belt. Okay. When I started in January, see how you see the notches here? I was between the second notch and the third notch right here. And obviously there were times that I was so fat I was at this notch because it's kind of protruding. So then I went down to where third, fourth notch, the fifth notch, the sixth notch, the seventh notch. Now I have outgrown this belt. I have gone between the second and third notch to the seventh notch. I'm going to buy a new belt, and I hope Paige reimburses me. But, and for all of our fans that like the S&M stuff, there you go. So I've lost 24 pounds as of today. It was up to 26, now it's 24. But it's still gone. But I've lost 4 inches on the waist, and I'm trying to get to win. You know, hopefully by the end of the year, it's going to be another four. So I'm going to weigh myself after this. I just worked out, so I'm probably back down to 26. So food freedom, and what I said, you didn't give me a hard sell because you said, look, you know, think about it, let me know, and then you gave me some advice for free. I don't know if this is a sales tactic or what, but you actually seem to care. That's what I like about you, is that you're genuine. You're not one. There's so many fake people in the world, and you were not fake.
Thank you. Yeah, no, those people really bother me. So I.
There are a lot of fake people in the fitness industry.
There are a ton of them. Yeah.
What do you think about the V-shred guy?
I don't even know who this is, but I'm assuming you don't like
it. The V-shred guy swears he has the answers to how to make you lose weight and kind of denounces every other diet but his own.
Well, I kind of want to throw myself off a cliff when I hear him talk. But just, you know, I don't even care if he hears this. But no, it's ridiculous. It's 100% sales tactic. Marketing. He's trying to get you on your weaknesses and what you think is like popular and the fads, and like he tells you what you want to hear.
Yeah, he makes it sound like it'll be super easy. Like, oh, it's like a miracle.
Yeah, yeah, And yeah, it's not.
So there are no miracles, but Paige, tell everybody what the solution is, what food freedom is.
So the solution, well, there's a few steps to it, but the solution ultimately, a common denominator for fat loss is a caloric deficit. But your macronutrients, what you eat, dictate what you gain or lose. So if you just ate Twinkies, if you only ate 3 Twinkies a day, of course you would lose weight, but it would be body fat and muscle. So you want to have enough protein, and actually if you eat enough overall and enough carbs specifically, you're going to be fueled and you're not going to have cravings and you're not going to binge and you're still going to be below that level in a deficit. So you can gain muscle at the same time and lose fat. So essentially it's eating what you want to, so long as you get your requirements of protein, fats, carbs, fiber, and you eat some fruits and vegetables.
And I've been doing that and it's been working.
Yep.
It works. It's slower than other diets would be, I will say that. But I've never stuck with one this long.
Yep. And you said that, you know, you've lost X amount of weight, but you gained muscle in the process. So you probably lost more body fat than those pounds. It's just,
I don't want to put anybody to shame that's watching this, but I'm starting to see veins in my arms and legs now.
See, there you go.
On your Instagram, which is Beef Nuggets. And yes. Honestly, that was the first question I was going to ask, and I forgot. How did you come up with Beef Nuggets?
So that was given to me by my first bodybuilding coach, Cam, back in Quad Gym Chicago. And he put me through my first couple competitions. But I gained muscle so quickly through the process of that they just started calling me a nugget of beef. A beef nugget. So,
yeah, okay. All right. So I thought it was, so you got a coach. No, what I was going to say was, I was on your Instagram page, Beef Nugget, a couple weeks ago. I did a show, and I saw like your story, and somebody was like posted that somebody asked them what diet they're on, and how restrictive that diet is. And the thing was, I got the same exact questions verbatim that night. Because there was a lot of people that had not seen me. Mm-hmm. And I just keep trying to say that this program works. And I guess you get that from a lot of clients.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's hard to explain because everyone wants the magic pill. You know, everyone wants like that. They think it
needs to be hot dog ice cream diet.
They think it needs to be that or keto or the, you know, drinking lemon juice. And so when you tell them, no, you just need to be in a caloric deficit. And you need to eat flexibly and you need to have accountability. They're like, that won't work, you know, but it does. It's just, we've been like brainwashed and pushed to these extremes.
You can talk more about this in detail because it's what you do. But for me, I had to retrain the way I think and like become more disciplined. And like, I kind of now, this is gonna sound weird. I treat calories like money. And so I have a deficit is when I'm not binging, which is what I'm working on right now, like having my discipline and knowing that I can't eat more than one really big meal a day. Because sometimes you go out with your friends, then you end up eating like with one group of friends, and then you go out with another group of friends afterwards. And so if I eat out 2 times a day, I'm going to gain. But I had to retrain myself and my relationship with food. Mm-hmm. And it really sucks because I love food. Like that's how I got to be where I'm at, is because I just ate carelessly.
We all love food. Actually, you know how Superman has kryptonite, Nicole?
Yeah.
Paige has peanut butter.
I watched is that your the weakness? Blog. I saw the blog.
It is. Yeah, I dug it out of the trash. I ate peanut butter out of the trash at one point in time.
What?
That wasn't the gross part. The gross part was when he mixed it with the water.
I must have missed this vlog.
Yeah, so well, it was one night I was really trying my hardest because I could finish like at least half a jar in one sitting. And so I was trying my hardest not to finish the jar of peanut butter that night. So I was like, okay, Paige, just put the lid back on, put it in the cabinet. That didn't work. I was like, okay, I'm just gonna throw it in the trash. Throw it in the trash, walked away. Hour later, I was like, still in the trash, the lid's on it, it's sanitary, I can still eat it. And so I went in the trash and I started eating it again. And then I was like, I can't do this. Like, what else can I do to get rid of this? And it was like snowing and winter in Chicago, so I don't want to go outside to the bin. So I put water in instead to try and make it disgusting. But you know, peanut butter has a lot of fat in it, and that is it essentially separates. So the water would sit on top. And so I went back into the trash an hour later, dumped out the water, and kept eating the bottom layer of peanut butter. Yeah, I know. Lowest point.
That's a binge.
That is a true binge. But no, a binge can be anything that you really define as like you eat something, what you think you're not supposed to eat, and you feel guilty about it afterwards.
Yeah. I recently went shopping with Mark, and I bought too much. I shouldn't have done that. Like, it was for fun, but I had all this extra food in the house. So, of course, I have no choice but to eat all of it, right? Like, that's what you do.
Not if you're on Paige's program. This is the first lesson.
Yeah.
I don't know if I should give this for free, but this really right. sticks with me. Is one of your first lessons is to buy a treat mm-hmm. that you like, Oreo cookies, cake, something, whatever. You know, a Pop-Tarts, whatever. Have it there. Mm-hmm. Get a big, big thing of it. In my case, I bought Captain Crunch bars, mm-hmm. right? And your challenge is you can have one a day, but only one a day. And you put the rest.
Yeah.
You can't eat two. You want to eat two. You can't eat two. You have to eat one.
You could eat two, but then you have to sacrifice other food, which you're not going to be as full. And so you don't want to. But
there is more food in my kitchen than I've ever had before because I'm always eating at home now.
Good.
But I eat my 1800 calories and that's it. I want to know how you got from, okay, I just wanted to get some muscle tone to I want to be a female bodybuilder. What prompted you and how did you make that transition?
So, I am a perfectionist, all or nothing person, which is essentially, we know psychologically, just a deep seated insecurity, which a lot of people have. But, I decided, you know, I'm an athlete. I was good at it. It was a nice stress relief. It was fun. I just enjoyed the whole process. And so someone one day in the gym was like, you look really good. You should compete. And I said, all right, I'll give it a go. And so I got ready. I did like a mock prep, cut down a little bit. I saw my like actual six pack for the first time. And I realized, oh my gosh, I actually have the muscle underneath. I can do this. And then I did an actual cut for a show, got on stage, which was terrifying at first. And then I was kind of hooked after that.
Well, tell Nicole and our audience what a cut is.
A cut is just the caloric deficit. So you're, for like a 16-week period, you are in a deficit and you're slowly losing body fat and getting or keeping muscle. So
to do a show, you pump up for a certain amount. And you eat like 4,000 calories, like I saw you on some vlog. And then at some point you just cut. You start eating what, 1,000 calories, 500 calories?
Oh no, not that much. Not that few. So the other thing I guess I missed an explanation was I worked in a clinic in Chicago doing body fat testing and metabolic testing. So I had the liberty of testing my body fat, my metabolism, whenever I wanted to. So I played with those metrics, learned my body, and also saw what worked for other people, what diets they were doing and whatnot. But I pushed my metabolism all the way up to not gaining body fat, but still eating 4,000 calories a day. To the point where I actually put chicken in a blender at one point in time with almond milk.
That's okay then.
Yeah, no, I was trying to...
Chicken smoothie. Blech.
Yeah, disgusting. I was like, all right, I'm going to call it at this point. But different people's metabolisms change at different rates. And so it's the one thing we don't know yet scientifically. And we can't really predict that. So I might be able to go up to 4,000 and not gain. Someone else would probably still gain body fat. But I have to cut down.
I know I've eaten 4,000 calories a day and I've gained weight. I can attest to that. Well, and Paige will tell you that drinking is pretty bad too.
And have a plan before you drink because, you know, you can have all the self-control in the world, but as soon as you start drinking and food is put in front of you, you don't have that ability physically to stop yourself and think, okay, you know, what am I, why am I doing this? Should I eat this? Should I not eat this? It's just mindless. So
that's part of the reason I stop at two. So I still have awareness, because when I drink three can turn into four.
Yep.
Yes. And then, you know, and then four turns into four. But Paige, tell Nicole and our audience, because this is amazing, because you just competed in a bodybuilding contest, a national bodybuilding contest. Whose name's escaped me, but it's one of the big ones.
North American.
Mm-hmm. North American. And you got third.
I got third.
Mm-hmm. Which you would think, wow, that's great. But what happens if you get one or two?
Well, if you get first, you get your pro card. So I missed it by two, which I'm okay with, because I actually went up a division. I went to bodybuilding. They rewarded the size.
So there's fitness, bodybuilding, and...
Well, the whole spectrum is bikini, figure, fitness, wellness, physique, bodybuilding.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so you started with physique?
I started with physique, because that's the first one you don't have to wear high heels with. And if I did that, I would trip and fall on stage for sure. So didn't want to do that.
The fact that you have to spray tan, I don't, you know how I'm anti-tan in the first place, but you know, your skin tone now is great. But then, like, they spray tan everybody and they all look like, it's even like, it's almost brown. It's very trumpy. And what is the thought behind that? Because I don't get that.
So the stage lights, they have to shine directly down on you and they wash you out. And so the darker you are, the more definition you can see, more like, you know, you have the shadows, the contrast essentially in your body. But no matter what your skin tone is, everyone gets spray tan. So the goal is to try to make you about the same to compare you.
And it's not like a spray tan you get at a tanning salon.
Oh, no. This is two coats, and it's two hefty coats. And you have to, the night before the show, you get your first coat, which essentially you have to shave your entire body first 7 hours before. Otherwise, you know, for whatever reason, your skin might react. And then you can't wear deodorant. Can't wear any lotion, can't wear any makeup, anything like that. The deodorant, if you have it on, it will turn green. The chemicals.
So have you seen green deodorant? Have you seen people that didn't know and they had the green armpits?
One girl. Yeah. One girl. Yeah. But I found if you use dryer sheets, it's actually a little bit better. It's ridiculous. But yeah, so the night before you get your first coat, you can't wear anything tight. You have to sleep on like a plastic sheet, because usually you're at a hotel for the show.
That's right, yeah.
You don't want to stain their sheets. And then you can't get anything wet at all. And then you go back, wake up at like 3 a.m.
You're not showered. You can't shower. You're not showered.
You get another coat, spray tan, hair and makeup. And then you put your suit on, you glue your suit to your body, and then you, you go on.
this is the bikini that you're gluing onto your body.
Yeah.
And you're not shaved, you're not anything, and you can't sit down. You're essentially just
all day. But you have to wear loose clothing, so it doesn't, sometimes it'll make like, you know, marks on you. And I made the mistake of because a lot of girls wear like the robes, like the satin robes. Mm-hmm. And I hate wearing those. They just fall off me. My shoulders are too broad. So I wore like satin pants, but I had a waistband mark around me. I know. They tanned over it, but still, it was just like little things like that. You can't sweat at all. Yeah.
You can't sweat at all.
Yep. You have to wait till like right before where they call your like class to start pumping up. So you pump up, because you don't want to pump up too soon, because then you start sweating. And then you get oiled up, you have your suit glued to you, and then you stand in line backstage waiting to go on, and you still have your like resistance bands, you're pumping up, and then you go on stage.
How is the competition with you and the other people? Is anybody like super aggro, or is everybody pretty professional?
Bodybuilders aggro? Don't say it ain't so.
No, we're there's actually a lot of camaraderie, and there's at least with my division and the girls that I knew, like I was excited to meet them, and like I talked to them beforehand and afterwards, and I was happy. Like they all had amazing physiques, every single one of them. So there really wasn't any pettiness or anything like that. But for the guys, it's a little different, and I think for the bikini girls too. I see them like, you know, giving each other the best stare backstage.
Yeah. Well, the guys are, I mean, I at the risk of getting my ass kicked, I mean, they're all writing it out, right?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't...
You've been very anti-steroids and very anti-enhancement drugs, but even in the female world, they're around.
Yes, yes. You have to take at least a little in order to be competitive and to keep your muscle, but way too many people take the wrong things and way too much. But with the guys, roid rage is a thing, but you have to kind of be an asshole to begin with in order for it to, like, you know, escalate it. You don't just like automatically start yelling at people. It's like, right, you have that inside you. Yeah.
How are you able to keep your femininity? I see female bodybuilders that just they're a little rough, and you are, yeah, I mean, you're a beautiful feminine woman with huge muscles. How does that work out?
So partially genetics. I think I was blessed with a good response, but also I train correctly. I eat enough. I take a very, very, very conservative dose, compared to, like, I have clients that come to me, women that come to me who need help with their relationship with food and dieting, but also they need to slowly get themselves off of all these drugs that their old coach had them on, because they're taking more than guys. I mean, they're taking testosterone, they're taking D-ball, they're taking Tren, they're taking just things that are only going to give you negative side effects. And then they don't even train correctly on top of that. So it's like they just shoot themselves in the foot. But I take
such a
conservative dose. Yeah. There you go. It's like such a conservative dose. And I also take breaks in between, very long breaks, as long as I can. And I also do blood work, donate blood, and make sure everything's, like, you know, normalized. Most people, it's like they don't want to see it, they don't want to know, and then before they know it, stuff happens. But
I wanted to find out, was it by design that there's a line you don't want to cross?
Oh yeah, I could definitely cross it. If I crossed it, I'm pretty sure I would be like the fucking Hulk. I would be enormous. But I don't want to do that because I care about my health, and also just I want to remain someone feminine. I enjoy that. So
every female bodybuilder I've ever come across, and I did some reporting for a bodybuilding competition in Las Vegas, I've met a lot of female bodybuilders. I dated one. They're some of the most intelligent people I've ever met. Every single one I've met. Why is this?
I think it might be tied to the all or nothing mindset. Like we have the, you know, the mental fortitude to push ourselves, but also, like, if we're gonna go all in on this, usually you probably went all in school growing up, taking tests, whatnot. I don't know. I don't think it's that more superior, like, you know, superior sex or anything, but it's just some of us like to push things.
I've met male bodybuilders, and some are very intelligent and some are quite frankly lunkheads. I just came from Planet Fitness. They have a lunk alarm. So, not every male bodybuilder I've met has been super hyper intelligent like you and every other female bodybuilder I've ever met.
I do know some that aren't, I will say that, but not, so it's at the lower caliber. It's the lower, I don't want to talk bad about it, but, you know, the girls who are just starting out, who don't have as much muscle, and they just do it essentially for like a beauty pageant.
Right. So they, yes, bikini, the fitness.
It's not about muscle, yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, and good for them for doing it. Now, you have tattoos.
I do.
Is that a problem? Is that a hindrance, or is that something that comes up at all?
Yeah, a bit. I've had a photographer tell me not to get any more because it's distracting, which I agree to an extent. Like, I have a plan to get a sleeve, but I'm going to make sure that it kind of like Rich Piana, if you remember, he had like his contoured, his delt and his elbow and his muscles, so it actually made him look bigger. So when I do, I'm going to make sure it does that. But there's makeup now you can wear that'll cover it on stage, and the tan kind of does. But okay, I mean, mine aren't that big. It's like I have this, I have these, I have one on my back, I have one on my hip, but nothing that's really, really big and black.
No. Because everybody's got tattoos now. I was wondering, because I remember back in the day,
yeah,
you know, you weren't supposed to have tattoos at all.
Yeah, it still kind of can detract from your physique, but there's ways around it.
So you get spray tan, you get everything glued, and it's you know, I can't imagine who beat you, because like I say, you just have, I mean, like I say, you have this, is it just because they were that much bigger, or they were, or it was just, was it a, well, you know, I know symmetry is part of it, but I mean, everything I've seen of you, I'm like, I've never seen a female bodybuilder look this big and look this, you know, look this good. I mean, were you too feminine? What was the problem?
First, thank you. It's very subjective. So I don't want to say it was politics. I don't want to say it was anything. Like the two girls who came in front of me had amazing physiques. One had, like, the girl who won, actually her structure is just, it's amazing. Okay. Like her, she has like the, like maybe an inch taller than me, but like her lats, the way she's structured, it's just, it's very aesthetic. So she wasn't actually as lean as I was, and they could have rewarded the leanness, but they went with the size and the form, which I can appreciate, but it's different for every show because you have different judges each time. So,
and the thing I thought was interesting in looking at your Instagram feed, I didn't know there was so much dancing. I don't remember that much dancing. When I went to one female bodybuilding competition, and there was no dancing, but man, you can dance.
Thanks. Try.
You're doing like a whole tumbling routine and all this stuff. And yeah, I just remember that's all I remember. But now you're like doing, you're doing the worm. You're doing all sorts of stuff.
I'm trying to bring that back. Like back in the day, there was like Sheila Black was my posing coach this time around, and her, if you like YouTube her routines, they were amazing. She's, you know, very flexible, and just, I think it adds to your individuality, and like you make it yours as opposed to just going up there and hitting the same poses that everyone else does. It's exciting also for other people, but you get to showcase like and tell a story almost, and you get to pick a song. So, but yeah, I hope to bring kind of more of that art back to the sport.
So you can dance if you want to, but you don't have to.
Yeah. Some people take it a little too far, though. They actually like dance, like twerk dance. I'm not going to condone that. But
what kind of dance?
Yeah, they twerk a little bit on stage.
Oh, you're not twerking. Okay, yeah, stage on twerk. Okay, got it. Now you didn't compete, and you actually made a declaration on your podcast, The Page Perspective, that you were not going to compete anymore. And then now you're competing again.
That was a while ago. Yeah. I mean, it's been first time in 4 years.
Why did you leave and why did you come back?
A lot's happened in 4 years. I sold all my belongings, moved to a third world country, focused on my business. Things went south with a personal relationship and kind of ruined the rest of my life. And then I kind of had to build myself back up and got here, COVID hit, and then hurt myself. I tore my quad, I broke my finger. And then I started lifting again and eating again. And I was like, you know what? I want to get back to who I was, because that is, it's really part of me, you know? And I enjoy it. So I think I was boycotting it temporarily because of the payout, because they pay the men so much more than us. It's ridiculous.
Really?
So much more. Yeah. Hmm. thousands and thousands of dollars. Like, I think, I don't know, if you win Olympia as a the bodybuilder category, you get, I don't even know, it's at least 100 grand, maybe 400. And then for the females in my division, it was like 8 grand.
Wow, that's a huge difference.
Yeah. And so you can justify it by saying, well, they bring more people to the sport because they're going with the social norm. We go against it. Less people want to see us.
Is that really true? Is that really true? Because I did, before the show, I was talking about all the guys that are posting YouTube videos of you working out. And I know, and we talk about fitnesses here all the time. I know there's a lot of guys that are into this. I mean, obviously, Arnold was a big thing at the time, and Ronald Coleman, who's going through some real health issues now. But I'm trying to think of a bodybuilding star now that's male. I have no idea, but I see more. I mean, maybe it's just what's coming up in my feed, but I see more female bodybuilder posts and people are like, look at this, than male bodybuilding, really.
Yeah, that might be the algorithm. I mean, the guys are still definitely, you know, they're up and coming and monsters, and like, you know, Brett Wilkins, Nick Walker, and Sergio, and all these guys, they have great physiques, but at the same time, you know, how some guys don't like our physiques. A lot of women don't like the overly muscular physique either. So that's mm-hmm. that's my argument as to why you're right. I think there should be equal pay, because it's kind of bullshit to say that's the only reason why.
Because the one female bodybuilding thing I've been to was a female and male bodybuilding together. It was like a little thing. I don't remember. It's a long time ago. But at that time, like, it seemed like the females were really the draws.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, we have to arguably work harder. We go literally against our own hormones and genetics and whatnot to get as muscular as we can. So it's impressive. But yeah, certain people appreciate us.
When you walk down the street, do little girls come up to you? What kind of reaction?
Oh yeah, it's quite the variety. I get people who want to stop and take a picture with me. I get usually the older folk will give me like the side eye. Like, I had one woman come up to me in the grocery store. She was like 90. She's like, "Oh, you ruined your body." You know, and then I have people who come up to me and they're like, "Oh my gosh, I love your back." Like, men and women, they're like, "I want your physique." So it's, yeah, a lot of both, but it's sure. Definitely a lot of reactions.
No, I want your physique too, but you know, it's gonna take more. I mean, you see what I lift, and oh boy, but I'm lifting. That's the key. You went from Michigan to Chicago, where quads apparently is the best gym in the world.
It is.
My Even opinion. Better than Gold's Gym in Santa Monica, the mecca of bodybuilding?
Yep. Especially now, because Gold's switched owners, I think, or they were bought out by like a corporation. But they took out some of the old school equipment and put in some new school stuff for like more cardio stuff and move things around, make it more, you know, invitable for general public. But quads in Chicago, they don't give a fuck. They have all of their equipment from the 70s. The chains are, you know, like exposed in the machines, and they keep everything, you know, well working, but it's just like, it's so cramped. There's so many machines that you're right next to the person.
Right.
Next to you, and it's great. And everyone who lives there is
great for you. It's not great for me. I try to keep my distance. If there's a machine that's not next to somebody, that's where I'll work out.
No, you'd like Maybe it. Everyone encourages each other. Like, if you need a spot, people will actually go up to you. You don't have to ask someone for it. Like, it's everyone's super friendly. It's great.
Now, what you said when you started working out, for some exercises you were iffy on form and this and that. When you're in the gym and you're working out and you see somebody that's iffy on form, do you help them? Or are you too busy with yours?
Well, I'm too busy with mine, but also I found that people tend to get offended. And so you have to approach them through their door, so to speak. Like, if they want help, awesome, I will help them. Sometimes I will intentionally go up next to them and do the same exercise with correct form to try to like set the example without actually telling them. Because yeah, people just, you know, they get offended. And I don't want to be the person that's like, you're doing that wrong. But if they're going to hurt themselves, I will tell them. But otherwise, okay. I just let them kind of.
How long did it take you to come up with this program, and what inspired you to come up with this program, and how were you able to come up with this? I mean, it seems so simple.
It seems like a little too simple. Seemingly, yeah. No, I had to slowly accumulate. I mean, it's knowledge from what I know in biology as a certified nutritionist, as a bodybuilder with my own experience from seeing people in the clinic testing metabolisms to, you know, my own mentors and like body confidence and everything. But basically when I was working in the clinic, I was trying to build this out online at the same time. And I was doing a show and had a puppy at the time, which was, there's just a lot going on. But I would pull all-nighters in the clinic because I had access to it. And so I was alone and I could film the videos quietly. So I'd work all day and then I would nap, work out, film videos, put things together online, sleep a little bit, go back to work. And I did that for months. And then I organized it in a way that's, you know, you slowly learn. I broke it up, you know, week by week and whatnot, the lessons. But ultimately, there was just too much to go over every week with someone one-on-one on the phone. So that's why I created the video course. So they can go in, they can watch the videos on their own time, learn the lessons, and then apply them.
Right. And one of the other things I tried was Noom, which has worked for some people. But the difference between your program and Noom is that Noom is really automated. And, you know, and the computer will come up to you and say, you know, hey, I haven't heard from you in a while, that type of thing, you know. But you actually talk to your clients on a weekly basis and check in with them.
And I also let my clients, on top of the weekly calls, like if you're sitting in front of a piece of, or a whole pizza, and you're staring at it, and you're like, I want to eat all of this. I know I shouldn't. I don't know why I can't pull myself away from it. Help. I want them to text me in the moment. Because if we can catch it then, or just the act of telling someone about it, to hold you accountable, will help to deter you psychologically. So yeah, it really doesn't work if you just have an app. As well, you need that accountability, and if doing it with someone who's been there and understands, it makes a difference.
Now you tell me. I didn't know that. I'm not even in your program anymore, but being in your program, I will say that I do comedy shows, and there's a comedy show I do where a lot of times they order pizza for comics, and I'll have a slice.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, just a slice. You should be able, yeah, that's what it is. But most people can't just have the slice.
Well, I couldn't do that before.
At first, yeah.
But I do that now. And the thing is also, now you're a shy person. You were
I like to say I'm laconic and reserved.
you're a bit, yes. But you have to put out this hey, I'm the fitness guru persona. And you're not fake about it, but I can tell just being a performer sometimes when there's times that you're just like, I'm
not into it.
Yeah. The intro to your podcast, which I really like, but I can tell you're sort of like, I'm sure that took more than one take.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the whole, the podcast.
You can change your perspective. You can change your life.
Yeah, you can.
I like it, except for the banjo music in fact. But other than that, it was good.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. I need to fix that. That's still on the internet. I'm just not. I never liked being in a spotlight. Ironically, I picked the sport where
you're in a spotlight. That's what I'm saying. You're not. You've always struck me, and you even strike me. Just talking to you, as like I said, a bit laconic, a little bit shy, and you got to go on stage and just win over that crowd.
I think it's part of it. I like that challenge. Knowing that like I'm nervous about it but I'm going to push myself through it anyway. And then afterwards you feel, you actually accomplished something that you never thought you could. it's pretty cool. But yeah, I've never been like boisterous or gregarious or that bold. But at the same time, I think a lot of people in the fitness industry are too cocky, and that bothers me too. So that's what I want to avoid being.
You know, everybody has their introvert and extrovert days and times.
For sure. Absolutely. Yeah.
But I could tell, I could tell even in the videos that you have in the program, you could tell like, okay, this is a good day, and this is a day I just kind of want to.
Well, like I said, I was filming some of those at like 3 a.m, and a lot of people don't know that. So I was just, that's the only time I could.
But see, I didn't know that myself. So the videos I'm watching are you 3 a.m. in a lab.
Yeah. In a lab by myself.
Now, who was the first person that that was not a bodybuilder that you coached, and what was the first time you got a real response to this, and how did that make you feel?
I can't pinpoint one person specifically because it was just a handful of people that came to me. Basically, I was working in a clinic, and I tested their body fat and their metabolism, and they're like, well, can you help me actually go through the process and hold me accountable? And I said, yes, I can do that. And with the program, but it was just a handful of women initially. Some people I knew, some people I went to high school with, some people I just met at the clinic, some people online, and then that's when my Instagram kind of took off. So that helped as well. But yeah, it was really, I knew it was going to work because it worked for me, but it was really, really rewarding hearing like how much of a difference I made in their lives.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So this happened in a lab. So it's like Spider-Man, the Hulk, and Paige were all born out of moonlighting at the lab. Morbius too, it looks, I think too. So but I don't wanna lump you in with him. But now why did you transition from just women to men? Because you had the Amazon program, and then like, who was the first man that came up to you and said, look, I need
something? Again, I couldn't tell you because there was so many. I just realized that more people needed my help. And then that's when I quit working at the clinic and I went full-time online and I could take more people. But ultimately, it's the same thing. Like, we think similarly, if not the same, you know, aside from like the period thing and certain hormones differences, but it's the same concept. And if anything, for guys, it's a little bit more challenging because you guys want to be, it's not really as talked about. Like, all these women are doing these diets and they want to be as thin as possible. But if you guys like go out together and you have beers and wings and whatever, it's like, who wants to be the guy that says like, oh, I'm really trying to do this diet, and like, I don't think I should have an extra beer. Like, it's harder for you guys to say that, I think, because you want to like brush under the rug and just be like the tough guy. But you know, we have our own challenges as well. So I kind of combined both of those, but yeah, I guess it's just, I realized that everyone needed my help.
So. I think, and you know, by the way, non-binary people obviously are welcome as well, but
yeah,
as a man, I think it's, there's a double standard in some ways. And I've said this a lot on the show because we have a lot of, you know, BBWs are coveted. I think, but there's no BBM.
Yeah, yeah. I guess the Amazonian female was what I initially had thought when I named it. But yeah, it could be anyone. I don't mean to, you know, just specifically do like female, male at all. I mean, it's just everyone.
And Nicole, by the way, she told me that I could skip the period chapter, but I didn't because.
You
want to be thorough. So, Nicole, you know, you have something in common with Paige as well.
What is it?
You're a poet.
Oh, Paige is a poet as well.
And yeah. And
Nicole just published her poetry book, Slow Burn. It's available on lulu.com. But Paige,
I'm going to buy that.
Talk about your passion for poetry, and you studied not only biology but English Lit at the same time, or
English writing, so creative writing with poetry focus. That was my senior thesis, and I've yet to publish it. I've been meaning to, but just haven't gotten around to it. I'm also writing a book, which is arduous, and yeah, it's a headache. But I have a couple of things published in like Midwestern Review, little college, you know, publications, whatnot. But I do love.
I was going to put you on the spot, see if you had a poem for us.
I might. I don't know. I can go find it in my bookcase if you want. Oops.
Yeah. If you could, I would love to hear it.
You want me to? Okay. Well, okay. So give me a topic. How deep do you want to?
I'm going to go really deep. Really deep.
Okay.
Really deep.
Okay. Let's see.
It's a dark mark show. We don't do anything shallow.
That's true.
Well, actually, we do a lot, but still.
So this is part of my, I guess it was very cathartic and therapeutic for me, because I dealt with some things growing up. And I didn't realize as I was writing it how much it was, like what it was doing, essentially. For me, and bodybuilding does a similar thing as well. Gives me an outlet, but I was also the editor of these, so it's like
this is what I wanted to get to. Everybody loves busting the page. I love nerdy page. That's I want to get there.
Okay, you ready? So this one's called White. I see you sometimes. Your burning cigarette, always vertical, until a tower of ash stands in its place. You called it art. Replacing white and ambiguity with texture, as if the undefined codes for error, deception. Perhaps you were right, and the swan remains quiet for a reason, watching the birch trees peel to red. But what did you see when you tied art around your neck and jumped?
Wow.
That's really good.
Thank you.
So,
yeah, that's my kind of style.
Deep.
Yeah.
As somebody who's tied art around their neck and jumped.
Yeah, it wasn't actually about a person, thankfully, but a person who I thought their mindset was going in that direction. But I really write about specific scenarios or people and how individual they are, and like, I tie science and nature into that. So I'll personify a lot of things, use a lot of metaphors, but I'm sure you know, Nicole. But it's, I want to read yours too, by the way.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
In thanks of doing the show, I'll make sure you get a copy of Slytherin, which is available on lulu.com. You know what would be great? If you became Poet Laureate, because I don't know who it is now, but if you came out and it's like, okay, this is the Poet Laureate, and you started flexing, how hot would that be? That would be so cool.
Yeah, that'd be
poetry's cool. Come on. Yeah. I just flexed, which is very embarrassing. Could you give us a little flex? Come on, Paige.
For sure. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Woo!
I can't really put myself in the
right. Yes. Yeah, I'm still foggy as to how you came across my Instagram, but some algorithm, I must have been looking at some weight loss things, probably the one that Nicole was talking about earlier, and I came across you, and I'm so glad that I did. Weight loss is not complicated, but you need help, and Paige Agri can help. Go ahead, Nicole. You were going to say something?
No, that was the look I had because my cat was making biscuits on my knee. It hurt a lot.
Paige, your cat's name is Trouble.
Yeah, it's Trouble.
And like her owner, it's quite apt. But Paige, thank you so much for being on. Now you're going to keep competing, right?
Yes, actually. So there's a chance I might compete again this year.
That's great.
One more chance at the pro card. Otherwise, I'm going to take a break and then next year. So
you're helping so many people, and I want to make sure you help more. Everybody follow Beef Nugget on Instagram and tell everybody what you got going on. And how they can get food freedom.
Yeah. So the Beef Nugget, I don't know if you're going to put this in the description, but it's N-U-G-G-E-T-T-E is a feminine version of a nugget. But it's...
I didn't know nuggets were binary. I had no idea.
But yeah, you can email me. You can... the coaching at PaigeTandgren.com. You can just basically click the link in my bio on my Instagram. You can fill out the little form application. I'll directly text you, or you can email me. But either way, I get back to everyone. And yeah, just if you are even curious about it, I would encourage you to reach out, because usually those are the people who, like, they come to me and they say, I wish I would have done this sooner. I wish I would have done this like a year ago.
That was me. That was me. And also, when you go on the Instagram, you'll get the link tree and you'll see your Amazon wish list. Now, this is the last question.
Yes.
And you know where it's going. Now, you have like stretchy workout pants. That makes sense. You have all sorts of protein supplements. That makes sense. What's with the chainmail bikini?
Well,
is that for competition?
No.
Or is that for private use?
Private use and photo shoot use. So I have a photo shoot that I did recently that's going to be released through HD Physiques. And I guess it's my first time doing something of the Dom sort. Ironically, I'm actually a sub in a Dom body, funny enough, usually. But now I would consider myself a switch. But yeah, I bought my first whip and it was fantastic. And I had no idea what I was doing, but the photo shoot was great. And that's coming out and I want to continue with it. So yeah, cool.
I thought it was something along these lines. I had no idea. Yes. I mean, I can't use this belt anymore. I've outgrown it. So I might as well just do this. Anyway, Paige, you have been a delight. Thank you so much. I owe you so much. And Nicole will tell you, like I said, I look at myself in the mirror every day. Nicole, does it work?
Yes, it's working. Yes.
And Nicole, as I said, your book is out, Slow Burn, on lulu.com. I've said it about four times already. Tell everybody how they can get a hold of you.
I'm Nicole6Books on Instagram or NicoleH6 on Facebook.
I'm Goth Comedian on all social media. Everybody have a wonderfully creepy week. Bye.